Karine Jean-Pierre, former White House press secretary to the Biden-Harris administration, shares why Americans must step beyond party lines to embrace life as independents in her new book, Independent, a look inside a broken White House, outside the party lines. In the book, she takes us through the 3 weeks that led to Biden's abandonment of his bid for a second term and what she calls a betrayal by the Democratic Party that led to his decision. Jean-Pierre looks to define what it means to be part of the growing percentage of our fractured electorate that is independent, explains why it can be worthwhile to carve oneself a political ideology true to personal beliefs rather than a party affiliation, and provides the questions you need to ask yourself to determine where you fit politically. Again, the new book is Independent, a look inside a broken White House outside the party lines. And we welcome Karine Jean-Pierre to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you on the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me at the roundtable. Excited to have this conversation.
Very nice to have you here. When word broke of the book coming out and the change in your party affiliation, wow, it set off quite a fireworks display. I'm curious as to, were you expecting that?
I mean, to be quite honest, I was not expecting that, because at the end of the day, I am a private citizen. I was a public servant, so I figured as a private citizen, I had the right, like every other private citizen, to make my own decision. And the thing to think about, too, is that I had been speaking for someone else for almost 5 years, right? Even before I worked for Biden, President Biden, I was speaking as a spokesperson for an organization. So this was the first time that I was able to speak for myself. And so I thought as a private citizen, I had the right to do so. So yeah, I was very much surprised. But what I wanted to do, the key really to this book, was trying to meet the moment in conversations that I was, you know, just organic conversations that I was having with people I didn't even know in my day-to-day outings, whether I was going to my kid's school or taking a flight, on where we were currently as a country and the fear and people were wanting to know, what do we do next? How do we move forward in the moment that we're in? And so what I hope to do with the book was to start a conversation. And I guess it goes back to your question. I guess I started a conversation, which is really what I wanted to do.
When it comes to party affiliation, how important do you think that is in having a label and as opposed to saying, okay, this is, we can, regardless of labels, this is what we believe in, and this is what we can work on and get accomplished?
Yeah, so here's the thing. I think what to think about here is you do need a functioning two-party system. Any poli-sci major, anybody who follows civics, right, understands their civics, understands that you need a two-working party system in order for democracy to work. Right. And right now, I think our two-party system is broken. And in order for our democracy to work, you have to work on that every single day. So that's one piece of it. The second piece of it, you have millions of people out there, if you look at the 2024 election, who do not feel that they're represented by either party. And so that's a problem. That means the system is not working for them. And so that means, what are we going to do to change that? People are frustrated. They're angry. They feel like they're not being seen. And so we need to have solutions. And so the way that I look at being an independent is, I wrote the book thinking, no matter what box you check, how can you demand more for democracy to function for you? And so there is a space here to figure out, how do I independently think for myself without thinking about which box I'm going to be checking, right? And so that's the thinking here. It's nuanced. I lay it out in the book. I really hope people take the opportunity to get the book and to read it for themselves, to try to see how we can work together to reimagine a system that works for all of us.
The nuances are fascinating. On the subtitle of the book, A Look Inside a Broken White House. At what point did you realize that, or that you felt that you were part of a broken White House?
The clarity that I wanted to make really pinpoint here is the how White House I was talking about is the current White House. I feel like that is a broken White House.
Yes.
And that is what I was speaking to, you know, when you look at the title. The White House that we're seeing right now is indeed broken. We're seeing an authoritarian regime. We're seeing our democracy being attacked. We're seeing the rule of law not being respected. And so that is a broken White House. But here's the thing. I also wanted to look beyond the power of the White House, because the people have the power as well. And so it cannot be on one individual person. This is a 30,000 foot view of the book, is that we need to come together as a people and figure out what kind of country do we want? What kind of representation do we want? And there is power outside the two-party system. There is power outside of whoever is in the White House. And so that is the thinking of the book. So it wasn't about the Biden administration that I was talking about. It was about the current administration that I'm talking about and how it is taking over the negative parts of what this country is supposed to be. The rules of law thrown out of the window, right? It's like our democracy is being trampled on every day. And so that was what I was talking about and what I'm writing about too, as I know you read the book, because I'm trying to meet the moment that we're currently in.
Karine Jean-Pierre is our guest. Her new book, Independent, A Look Inside a Broken White House Outside the Party Lines. So where do the Democrats fail in the sense of even you becoming an independent, of the abdication of some responsibility for what happened, and the fact that the way that the end of the Biden administration unfolded, we can certainly talk about this, of how it led to the reelection of President Donald Trump.
Look, they have to speak for themselves, right? And I do think, and I talk about this in the 3 weeks, in that 3 weeks period from the moment that we had the debate to the president deciding to step down, which is the eating of our own, right? Instead of taking ownership and, to your point, taking responsibility, we eat our own. And that is a huge problem I see with the Democratic leadership, even with my book, right? People didn't know what was in the book. People had no idea what was in the book, but it got the reaction that it got. Instead of, it shouldn't be about politics right now. We should be in a moment where the party should be thinking about, the Democratic Party should be thinking about, and this is what people told me, who are they? Where's their soul? What are they fighting for? And that is the question that all of us are asking right now. And by me becoming independent, if that helps start that conversation, a conversation that we should have had a long time ago about the Democratic Party and where it's going, and why do millions of people feel left out? Why? They have to answer that question. They need to meet the moment right now. And the moment is not acting as a political party. The moment is acting not a Democratic political party, but as an opposition party. And that's the message that they're missing. And if Democratic leadership does not come to face with that and understand that and have some sort of ownership, they're going to continue to lose people who want to be part of the party.
I mean, obviously, a person like you, I mean, I don't want to speak for you, obviously, but it seems like, I mean, you're never going to vote for Trump, right? I mean, so in looking at another, fairly safe bet. So
fairly safe bet.
But it does show where we are and the fractures in this country. And I'm interested when you talk about the 3 weeks that you write about, and as the decision was being made on the future of the Joe Biden for president campaign, and the eating of your own, where were you in that, in the sense of you still had to get up there in front of the press corps and say, okay, you know, he was having a bad night. He had a cold. He was sick. It was this, it was that. And I mean, you're doing your job, obviously, but how aware were you of what else was going on or if there was something deeper going on?
So here's the thing. Everything that I said at the podium was true. There was nothing about what I said at the podium that I didn't believe. So I want to be very clear about that. And yes, as the White House press secretary, any White House press secretary, you're speaking for the president of the United States, the president that you're working for, obviously the current president, and for the American people in many regards, right? As the briefing room, what's happening in the briefing room is being telecast across the globe, right? In that regard. What I experienced, and I talk about this in detail in the book, and I really hope people take an opportunity to hear from me directly and to read the book. My experience with Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, was someone who had the experience of more than 50 years as a senator, as a vice president, obviously as president, and brought that experience to the work. And brought that experience to make sure that American lives were much better or improved. And that's what I saw. I saw somebody who was sharp. I saw somebody who was very much on top of policy, on history, and somebody that I learned from. I've known Joe Biden since 2009. That is a long time to know someone in this business. And so I was able, what I said at the podium, I believe, because I saw him on a regular daily basis. And, you know, and it's not just me. When I talk about his record, if you look at his record, it's very clear what he was able to do. You know, when you think about labor force growing by the end of his term, when you think about what happened with COVID and him turning COVID around and inflation going down by almost 3% by the end of this term. I mean, there are things that we were able to do that made people's lives better. Now, what we wanted to do is try to message that a little bit better, try to make sure we got that out there. But it was a very difficult period. It was an incredibly politically fiery time. And that's the moment that we continue to be in right now.
Did you feel for him? Did you feel for the president of what he was going through and ultimately what became a very hard decision?
Absolutely. He's someone that I care about deeply because, like I said, I've known him since 2009. He's someone that I spoke for. He's someone that cares about people. In the book, I talk about during my time at the White House, especially for that last year and a half of my tenure, my mom got sick. My mom was diagnosed with cancer. Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, was one of the only people that knew because I kept that very quiet, even from my own team. He's someone that reached out to me and cared and wanted to make sure that I was okay. As a Haitian American, when we saw what the Republican Party was doing in Springfield, Ohio, and lifting up a lie about Haitian migrants eating dogs and cats, he came to me to make sure that I was okay. He wanted to speak about it. He wanted to push back on it. And so that is the person that I got to know, of someone who cares deeply about other people and certainly about the American people. I would not have done the job for as long as I did. I was the longest serving female press secretary if I did not care about the work and the person who was waking up every morning trying to do that work on behalf of the American people.
So you see the debate performance, the disastrous debate performance that ultimately led to Joe Biden leaving the race. What immediately goes through your mind? I mean, you obviously, yeah. I assume you realized what everybody else realized, that this isn't going well. So are you writing notes as to how we're going to put the best face on this? Are you going to others and saying, what's the message we want to get out? Or are you just looking for the liquor cabinet?
Well, so everybody knows, I actually don't drink alcohol, but I appreciate that. I know that is definitely a real. I can see that visually.
A possibility, yeah.
A possibility. Look, so again, I talk about that in great detail in the book, obviously. from my perspective and what I was going through myself. Obviously, it was a bad debate. It was not a good debate. That is something that I said at the podium. That is something that the president owned up to. And nobody was hiding or trying to hide what folks were seeing. And I was surprised. I was very surprised what I saw. And my immediate thought was that he was sick, because the first thing when he started speaking, you heard how hoarse his voice was. And so there was an instance of, oh wow, okay, he's sick. He's not feeling well. And I saw him. I traveled with him to Atlanta, where the debate was being held on Air Force One, but I didn't get a chance to talk with him because, he was preparing for a debate. It was the political side, and I was trying to obviously be respectful of his space and time. So I was surprised, and I think most of us were very, very surprised. And what I was doing at the time was responding to reporters who were reaching out to me and asking, is he sick? Does he have COVID? And so I was just kind of moving in the moment and responding to the moment, not too much thinking about the next 24, 48 hours, but I was certainly trying to figure out, like, be in the moment that I was in. But when I was sitting there, obviously the role that I have, the press role and the comms role that we have, is trying to figure out, okay, how to respond to this policy or this question or this answer. But it was so shocking to all of us that we were just trying to be like, okay, what's happening here right now in this moment? And look, after we left Atlanta, if I'm remembering everything correctly, he made a stop. He did a stop at a diner in Atlanta. We went to North Carolina. We went to New York. We went to New Jersey. We were on the road for 2, 3 days before we went back to DC. And so he was sick, obviously had a cold, but he was still moving and getting around and saying hi to people. And so we were trying to just do the business of the American people, and obviously he was running a campaign.
The new book is Independent, A Look Inside a Broken White House Outside the Party Lines. It is published by Legacy. The author, Karine Jean-Pierre, is our roundtable guest this morning. If Kamala Harris had won the election, would you have changed party affiliation?
That's a very good question. What I will say is those 3 weeks really shed some light for me as to a party that I think needed a bit of a shakeup, a bit of a awakening. And I do think, and I write this in the book, I do think that even after, or when there was talk about her being the nominee, there was still chatter amongst leadership in the Democratic Party who didn't want her to be the nominee. And I thought to myself, why are we doing this? Right? Why is this happening? Why are we not supporting the woman who's currently sitting as vice president and the woman who is more than qualified to be president? And so there was certainly things that happened that was clear-eyed to me, that led to my decision, that was informing my decision even before the election. And so it's hard to give a hypothetical answer to this. What I can tell you is there are real things that occurred, real things that I saw that troubled me and bothered me. And I think even now in this moment, I do not see the Democratic Party doing what they need to be doing in order to fight back. Where is the opposition here? Where's the fight? Where's the soul of the Democratic Party? Where's the leadership? And in this moment right now, as I'm talking to you, there is a real problem. And it's not just, obviously, it's not just the Democratic Party. Republicans have their own, their own issues to deal with, major issues to deal with. But in order to get to out of where we are right now, we need change. We need fundamental change.
So let's just use one item in the news today that I want to that just seems like it could be a place where Democrats could say something that was meaningful and show leadership, and that's over the shutdown. which I have yet to see. I know we do a show here every day where our panelists will tell you, here are all the things that the Democrats should be saying as the Republicans go on, and of who's getting the blame and responsibility and so forth. So, I mean, isn't that an example?
So, yeah, I mean, there's been many examples over the last 10 months of things where I'm scratching my head. And look, we don't need a strongly worded letter. We don't need a strongly worded speech, right? That's not what we need. We need a clear contrast and a party that is fighting for us. And that's what I am not seeing. And my heart goes out to the federal workers who really depend on that's their salary to live, to take care of their family. There are programs out there that our veterans need, right? That our seniors need, that they're not gonna get or not getting right now. And we need to come to a realization of what to do next. Obviously the other side is trying to cut healthcare, and that can't be. And so to your point, you know, we need to see a fight. There's many ways of doing that. And I'm just not seeing a party that has a party leadership that has their soul. I mean, it is sometimes it's heartbreaking to see their reaction to certain things, whether it's the shutdown, right? Whether it is the, you know, how we're going to deal with the budget, right? It is heartbreaking to see the reaction from leadership that is not strong, that is not consistent, that is not sharp. And we need to see a lot more. We need to see some fight here.
So let me ask you just a made up scenario, but you're on book tour and you're in a hotel room in Madison, Wisconsin, and Carolyn Leavitt comes on, and do you keep the TV on or do you turn it off?
So I have to tell you, since January 20th, which was the last day that I was in my White House press secretary office, I have not watched cable news. I have seen, obviously, things that have gone viral. I've not watched my successor in the role. And so I others can speak much better than I can.
Must be a lovely wife. not having watched, you know, cable news.
Joe, I'll tell you this. I spent 4 or 5 years working as a public servant on behalf of the American people the best way that I can, working almost 24/7, six, seven days a week. And I do believe, and I have a daughter, and I told you I had a mom that is sick. Right. And for me, it was really incredibly important to take care of my family, spend time with my family, and self-care. And that's what I decided to do. And now I'm a private citizen. I wrote this book. I really hope that people just hear me out. And I'm always looking forward to having a conversation, because I think this is what we need. We need a conversation to get to a solution.
The new book is Independent, A Look Inside a Broken White House, Outside the Party Lines. Karine Jean-Pierre, thank you so much for being with us. Delight.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Be
Bye,
well.
Guys.
Thank you.
Be well.
Again, the new book is Independent, A Look Inside a Broken White House, Outside the Party Lines by Karine Jean-Pierre. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.